Chapter 64. Thinking of a very good way, if only that engineer-in-chief consents. Remind him, senior, that I looked after the old rich Englishman who pays for the railway, and that I saved the lives of some of his people, that time when a gang of thieves came from the south to wreck one of his pay trains. It was I who discovered it all at the risk of my life, by pretending to enter into their plans. Just as you are doing with Satillo. Yes. Yes, of course. But I can offer him better arguments, the doctor said, hastily. Leave it to me. Ah, yes. True. I am nothing. Not at all. You are everything. They moved a few paces towards the door. Behind them the late senior Hirsch preserved the immobility of a disregarded man. That will be all right. I know what to say to the engineer, pursued the doctor, in a low tone. My difficulty will be with Satillo. And Dr. Monaghan stopped short in the doorway, as if intimidated by the difficulty. He had made the sacrifice of his life. He considered this a fitting opportunity. But he did not want to throw his life away too soon. In his quality of betrayer of Don Carlos's confidence, he would have ultimately to indicate the hiding place of the treasure. That would be the end of his deception, and the end of himself as well, at the hands of the infuriated colonel. He wanted to delay him to the very last moment, and he had been racking his brains to invent some place of concealment at once plausible and difficult of access. He imparted his trouble to Nostromo, and concluded, "Do you know what, Capitus? I think that when the time comes, and some information must be given, I shall indicate the Great Isabel. That is the best place I can think of. What is the matter?" A low exclamation had escaped Nostromo. The doctor waited, surprised, and after a moment of profound silence, heard a thick voice stammer out, "Utter folly," and stop with a gasp. "Why folly?" "Ah! You do not see it," began Nostromo, scathingly, gathering scorn as he went on. "Three men in half an hour would see that no ground had been disturbed anywhere on that island. Do you think that such a treasure can be buried without leaving traces of the work, senior doctor? Why, you would not gain half a day more before having your throat cut by Satillo. The Isabel! What stupidity! What miserable invention! Ah! You are all alike, you fine men of intelligence. All you are fit for is to betray men of the people into undertaking deadly risks for objects that you are not even sure about. If it comes off, you get the benefit. If not, then it does not matter. He is only a dog. Ah! Matter de Dios, I would..." He shook his fists above his head. The doctor was overwhelmed at first by this fierce, hissing vehemence. "Well, it seems to me on your own showing that the men of the people are no mean fools too," he said, sullenly. "Oh, but come. You are so clever. Have you a better place?" Nostromo had calmed down as quickly as he had flared up. "I am clever enough for that," he said, quietly, almost with indifference. "Why you want to tell him of a hiding place big enough to take days in ransacking a place where a treasure of silver ingots can be buried without leaving a sign on the surface?" "And close at hand," the doctor put in. "Just so, senior. Tell him it is sunk." "This has the merit of being the truth," the doctor said, contemptuously. "He will not believe it. You tell him that it is sunk where he may hope to lay his hands on it, and he will believe you quick enough. Tell him it has been sunk in the harbor in order to be recovered afterwards by divers. Tell him you found out that I had orders from Don Carlos Gould to lower the cases quietly overboard somewhere in a line between the end of the jetty and the entrance. The depth is not too great there. He has no divers, but he has a ship, boats, ropes, chains, sailors of a sort. Let him fish for the silver. Let him set his fools to drag backwards and forwards and crossways while he sits and watches till his eyes drop out of his head." "Really, this is an admirable idea," muttered the doctor. "Sigh. You tell him that, and see whether he will not believe you. He will spend days in rage and torment, and still he will believe. He will have no thought for anything else. He will not give up till he is driven off. Why, he may even forget to kill you. He will neither eat nor sleep. He, the very thing. The very thing. The doctor repeated in an excited whisper. See, Capitus, I begin to believe that you are a great genius in your way. Nostromo had paused, then began again in a changed tone, somber, speaking to himself, as though he had forgotten the doctor's existence. There is something in a treasure that fastens upon a man's mind. He will pray and blaspheme and still persevere, and will curse the day he ever heard of it, and will let his last hour come upon him unawares, still believing that he missed it only by a foot. He will see it every time he closes his eyes. He will never forget it till he is dead, and even then, doctor, did you ever hear of the miserable gringos on Azura that cannot die? Ha! Ha! Sailors like myself. There is no getting away from a treasure that once fastens upon your mind. You are a devil of a man, Capitus. It is the most plausible thing. Nostromo pressed his arm. It will be worse for him than thirst at sea or hunger in a town full of people. Do you know what that is? He shall suffer greater torments than he inflicted upon that terrified wretch who had no invention. None. None. Not like me. I could have told Satillo a deadly tale for very little pain. He laughed wildly and turned in the doorway towards the body of the late Senor Hirsch, an opaque long blotch in the semi-transparent obscurity of the room between the two tall parallelograms of the windows full of stars. You man of fear, he cried. You shall be avenged by me, Nostromo. Out of my way, doctor. Stand aside, or, by the suffering soul of a woman dead without confession, I will strangle you with my two hands. He bounded downwards into the black, smoky hall. With a grunt of astonishment, Dr. Monaghan threw himself recklessly into the pursuit. At the bottom of the charred stairs he had a fall, pitching forward on his face with a force that would have stunned a spirit less intent upon a task of love and devotion. He was up in a moment, jarred, shaken, with a queer impression of the terrestrial globe having been flung at his head in the dark. But it wanted more than that to stop Dr. Monaghan's body, possessed by the exultation of self-sacrifice, a reasonable exultation, determined not to lose whatever advantage chance put into its way. He ran with headlong, tottering swiftness, his arms going like a windmill in his effort to keep his balance on his crippled feet. He lost his hat, the tails of his open gabardine flew behind him. He had no mind to lose sight of the indispensable man. But it was a long time, and a long way from the custom house, before he managed to seize his arm from behind, roughly, out of breath. Stop! Are you mad? Already Nostromo was walking slowly, his head dropping, as if checked in his pace by the weariness of irresolution. What is that to you? Ah! I forgot you want me for something. Always. Semper Nostromo. What do you mean by talking of strangling me? Panted the doctor. What do I mean? I mean that the king of the devils himself has sent you out of this town of cowards and talkers to meet me tonight of all the nights of my life. Under the starry sky the Albergo de Delia Una emerged, black and low, breaking the dark level of the plain. Nostromo stopped altogether. The priests say he is a tempter, do they not? He added, through his clenched teeth. My good man, you drivel. The devil has nothing to do with this. Neither has the town, which you may call by what name you please. But Don Carlos Gould is neither a coward nor an empty talker. You will admit that? He waited. Well? Could I see Don Carlos? Great heavens! No. Why? What for? Exclaimed the doctor in agitation. I tell you it is madness. I will not let you go into the town for anything. I must. You must not. Hissed the doctor, fiercely, almost beside himself with the fear of the man, doing away with his usefulness for an imbecile whim of some sort. I tell you, you shall not. I would rather, he stopped at loss for words, feeling fagged out, powerless, holding onto Nostromo's sleeve, absolutely for support after his run. I am betrayed, muttered the capitalist to himself, and the doctor, who overheard the last word, made an effort to speak calmly. That is exactly what would happen to you. You would be betrayed. He thought with a sickening dread that the man was so well known that he could not escape recognition. The house of the senior administrator was beset by spies, no doubt. And even the very servants of the Casa were not to be trusted. I reflect, Capitus, he said, impressively. What are you laughing at? I am laughing to think that, if somebody that did not approve of my presence in town, for instance, you understand, senior doctor, if somebody were to give me up to Pedrito, it would not be beyond my power to make friends even with him. It is true. What do you think of that? You are a man of infinite resource, Capitus, said Dr. Monaghan, dismally. I recognize that. But the town is full of talk about you, and those few cargadors that are not in hiding with the railway people have been shouting Viva Montero on the plaza all day. My poor cargadors, muttered Nostromo. Betrayed. Betrayed. I understand that on the wharf you were pretty free in laying about you with a stick amongst your poor cargadors, the doctor said in a grim tone, which showed that he was recovering from his exertions. Make no mistake. Pedrito is furious at Senor Ribera's rescue, and at having lost the pleasure of shooting Deckard. Already there are rumors in the town of the treasure having been spirited away. To have missed that does not please Pedrito either. But let me tell you that, if you had all that silver in your hand for ransom, it would not save you. Turning swiftly, and catching the doctor by the shoulders, Nostromo thrust his face close to his. Maledetta! You follow me speaking of the treasure. You have sworn my ruin. You were the last man who looked upon me, before I went out with it. And Sidonai the engine driver says you have an evil eye. He ought to know. I saved his broken leg for him last year, the doctor said, stoically. He felt on his shoulders the weight of these hands famed amongst the populace for snapping thick ropes and bending horseshoes. ND to you, I offer the best means of saving yourself, let me go, and of retrieving your great reputation. You boasted of making the capitalist de cargadors famous from one end of America to the other about this wretched silver. But I bring you a better opportunity, let me go, Homber. Nostromo released him abruptly, and the doctor feared that the indispensable man would run off again. But he did not. He walked on slowly. The doctor hobbled by his side till, within a stone's throw from the Casa Viola, Nostromo stopped again. Silent in inhospitable darkness, the Casa Viola seemed to have changed its nature. His home appeared to repel him with an air of hopeless and inimical mystery. The doctor said, you will be safe there. Go in, Capitus. How can I go in? Nostromo seemed to ask himself in a low, inward tone. SG cannot unsay what she said, and I cannot undo what I have done. I tell you it is all right. Viola is all alone in there. I looked in as I came out of the town. You will be perfectly safe in that house till you leave it to make your name famous on the Campo. I am going now to arrange for your departure with the engineer-in-chief, and I shall bring you news here long before daybreak. Dr. Monaghan, disregarding, or perhaps fearing to penetrate the meaning of Nostromo's silence, clapped him lightly on the shoulder, and starting off with his smart, lame walk, vanished utterly at the third or fourth hop in the direction of the railway track. Arrested between the two wooden posts for people to fasten their horses to, Nostromo did not move, as if he too had been planted solidly in the ground. At the end of half an hour he lifted his head to the deep baying of the dogs at the railway yards, which had burst out suddenly, tumultuous and deadened, as if coming from under the plane. That lame doctor with the evil eye had got there pretty fast. Step by step, Nostromo approached the Albergo d'Italia Una, which he had never known so lightless, so silent, before. The door, all black in the pale wall, stood open as he had left it 24 hours before, when he had nothing to hide from the world. He remained before it, irresolute, like a fugitive, like a man betrayed. Poverty, misery, starvation. Where had he heard these words? The anger of a dying woman had prophesied that fate for his folly. It looked as if it would come true very quickly. And the Liperos would laugh as he had said. Yes, they would laugh, if they knew that the Capitis de Cargadores was at the mercy of the mad doctor whom they could remember, only a few years ago, buying Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.